Hey everybody, this is Pierre Quinn and you're listening to episode number 59 of the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode, my guest is Steve Gutzler. Steve has worked with some of the top organizations in the world, including Microsoft, Starbucks, Boeing, Ritz-Carlton, the Seattle Seahawks, and Amazon. And in our conversation today, we talk about what it means to have a one-day contract and what he does to train high-performance leaders around the world. So, listen up. I want to thank all of you who continue to listen to the Leading While Green podcast. Your listenership is such a big deal to me. And every week we see the numbers climbing as we push through on this leadership journey. I want to give a shout out to Mr. Self-Improvement, who left a review on the podcast. Mr. Self-Improvement says, "This podcast is absolutely my go-to for personal development. I'm often challenged with a new perspective to help aid in the growing podcast." Mr. Self-Improvement, we appreciate your listenership and supporting us on this Leading While Green journey. Now, before we get into the conversation with Steve Gutzler, just want to let you know about a couple of things happening on my website, prcquinn.com. First, we have a free course, 12 Tips to Grow as a Leader. And I really want you to take that short course on leadership. It's got four modules. It's really great content that I've used to train some of the best leaders across the country. And I also have my leadership intensive, the Leading While Green Leadership Intensive course. Man, I've packed a lot of stuff into that course. Over 2 hours of content, a 50-page study guide. It's highly engaging and a ton of bonuses in there for you too. So hop over to prcquinn.com and check out both of those, my free course and my leadership intensive. Now, here's my conversation with Steve Gutzler. So to the podcast, I'm really excited because I get a chance to sit down and chat with Steve Gutzler. Steve, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, man, it's awesome. We get to talk all my favorite subjects, leadership and emotional intelligence.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, let me give the people a little bit of background about you. Steve is the president of Leadership Quest, a Seattle-based leadership development company. He's a dynamic and sought-after keynote speaker. Over 2,500 presentations to some of the top companies in the world. These include Pandora Radio, Microsoft, Starbucks, Boeing, Cisco, Starwood Corporation, Oxford Financial, to name a few. And Steve's been doing this dynamically communicating with audiences for over 26 years. Recently, he was voted number one by the readership of Huffington Post as the most inspirational leader on social media. And he has over 100,000 Twitter followers to prove it. And he currently resides in Seattle. Steve, man, I'm excited about our conversation. I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me today.
Thank you, Pierre. This is, like I said, a super privilege. I love talking leadership. I love talking about emotional intelligence and just improving our craft as personal leaders.
Absolutely. So take us back. I mean, we read your bio, we get a snapshot of you in 500 to 600 words. But at what stage in your life did you know that leadership and personal development and emotional intelligence were going to be the plate that you ate off of for the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a great question, Pierre, because a lot of people don't realize when I give a keynote address, sometimes I'll tell my story, but I actually started my company after 4 months of being unemployed. And I was wandering. I was struggling. I just moved my family up to Seattle. I was going to get involved in a ministry and do some nonprofit work, and it just didn't pan out. And I went through 4 months of self-discovery. It was a tough time, but I did some internal work, which ended up being the best time of my life. I did some visioneering where I actually took myself on a vision casting for my own personal life. And I said, if I could do anything, what would it be? And it would be to inspire leaders to go on a quest. And I actually named my company Leadership Quest. And it wasn't like turning on a light switch, but it was like turning up the dimmer switch. Slowly, I began to build this company called Steve Gutzler and Leadership Quest. I started meeting with individual leaders, small companies, and just began to improve or I would say hone in on my craft as a personal leader. So I look back, you know, over two decades, you named a lot of the clients. I travel weekly. I have 25 coaching clients, six of whom are CEOs. I coach the chief operating officer of the Seattle Seahawks, played golf with him last Friday.
Nice.
And just feel very honored, feel very blessed. But as you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes work, and most of the work is on yourself.
Definitely. So now I want to dig on this just a little bit more before we transition to our main topic. But what was it that helped you, even in part of this vision casting for your personal life? Because there are people who hit that spot of being unemployed or being undecided, being fired, or just being in a tailspin. And for some individuals, they don't recover. There's not a happier ending to the story and where they go on to do bigger and better things. What was it about that experience for you that made you hunker down and say, you know what, I'm going to get through this for myself and for my family, and I know I'm going to be better on the other side?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're faith-based. I'm faith-based. I was on a walk at kind of my low point, and I live in the Seattle area. We've got a lot of fir trees, and I was on this walk just doing a lot of soul searching. I heard this little prompting voice that said, look up. I looked up, and I kid you not, there was a fir tree that extended far above all the other trees. Mm. And I heard the voice say, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or imagine.
Oh, that's good.
And I literally, I kid you not, Pierre, I ran back to my house. I was about a mile away from my home. I ran back and started to pen out what I felt was going to be my purpose. And I tell leaders, until you actually document what you believe your purpose is, and at that point I felt like the core essential was to inspire greatness and potential in individuals. And I wrote that out. Then I wrote out my five values, which was my faith, family first, work hard, leadership, and have fun. And then I began to write out some goals for the next. I couldn't foresee the next, you know, 5-10 years, but I could envision the next 2 years. And I actually wrote out some goals, starting a company. So I tell leaders, you've got to get what's on the inside and get it on paper. You have to document it. And then you've got to put underneath it the compelling reasons why you want that goal or accomplishment. And the compelling reason for me was, I have to follow this calling. I want to inspire people. I want to go through my life and make a mark. I want to provide for my family. I had all of these compelling reasons that fired me up. So I say, you got to do the internal work until, like Rick Warren says, you don't change when you see the light. You change when you feel the heat. And my heat moment was I was unemployed.
Yeah.
And I had to get busy. And I needed to get busy around my purpose. So I would say the internal work and then documenting and getting serious about it.
Well, in your work in coaching and training and consulting, with around that internal piece with some of your clients and some of the groups that you've worked with, what have you found to be the reason behind some of the apprehension for some individuals to put that stuff on paper, to put those goals and dreams and aspirations? Why do some of us hesitate to actually write that stuff down?
Well, I don't think we really have the template. I mean, we have it. It's floating around, but we need the pressure, the heat. We need to get serious, just like you'd make a business plan. You need a life plan. I haven't met one client. I've worked for two decades. I've never found a single client. I've worked with numerous high-level leaders, and if I ask them, what's your life plan, they'll have parts of it, right? They have documents, or they might have maybe they went through a values exercise, but I think it's really important to have a life plan, a actual living life document that guides you, just like you'd have a business plan for your business. We need a life plan that includes, what is your purpose? What are your top five values? What's your code of honor? What are the promises that you want to make and keep in the next decade? What are the goals that you want around seven key areas? things pertaining to your family, your career, your health, your finances. And so it takes, you know, you've heard this, people spend more time planning a 1 week vacation than they mm-hmm. do their life. Mm-hmm. So it takes some time. You know, we're coming up on our weekend. I mean, I don't know when the podcast, we've got a 3-day weekend coming up. Perfect time. Find time where you can document your life plan.
Now, you've done really some amazing work. I've watched some of your videos, and we're going to put everything in the show notes, folks, for you to catch up with Steve, for you to get on his blog, to watch his videos, some of his content. And he talks, Steve, you talk about this this really interesting concept of this idea that when as a leader or just about anybody, when you have an intense moment, when you have a flare up, when you have an argument, a disagreement, something that stresses you out, before you can go forward and make a rational decision, it takes you about 18 minutes to kind of cool down. Like, what are the idea? What's the science behind that? And how have you seen that apply?
Yeah, that's great, Pierre. So the cornerstone of a lot of my training, workshops, keynotes, and even my coaching is built around emotional intelligence. And at the heart of emotional intelligence is learning how to, as a personal leader, self-regulate those stressful moments. That will define it. That will make or break your career. So if you can learn to self-regulate, I call it the 17% moments. Mm-hmm. In other words, most of us will operate at optimum levels about 83% of our days, you know, 83% of the time we're high functioning. But like you said, those emotional hijacking moments mm-hmm. can self-sabotage us. So the brain science is this. When you get emotionally hijacked, cortisol rushes into your system and you go from your rational brain to your emotional response in a second. And leaders have to learn how to self-regulate that, right? You've got to learn how to self-regulate those emotional moments that could self-sabotage you. So, you know, my son's in law enforcement. He's a SWAT officer. And in order to get on the SWAT team, you've got to pass a rigorous interview. You got to have an amazing physical test that they take you through all sorts of things. But the toughest one, my son said, were all of the emotional scenarios they take you through. If you don't learn how to self-regulate the emotional scenarios, you won't make SWAT. So I tell all of my clients, you're like a SWAT team member. You're a corporate athlete. You have to learn how to self-regulate that. Otherwise, you won't be an elite. You won't be an elite performer. So I try to give leaders tools and tactics to self-regulate the 17% moments. That cortisol, Pierre, will stay in your system at a heightened rate about 18 minutes. 18 minutes. So when you have you ever had a flare up with your wife?
Oh, of course not.
So I know not you, but occasionally my wife and I will have these little flare ups, or I'll have I've got three kids and they're adults now, or a client, or there's not a week or barely a day that goes by I'm not having to self regulate an emotional hijack. And so I get an email, it sets me off or just triggers something. Do I respond immediately or do I self-manage it by giving myself 18 minutes to let that cortisol calm down, and let that rational brain open back up for a better response? So if your listeners can think of, okay, the 17% moments are those high stress moments during the week. It takes me about 18 minutes to self-regulate. If I can learn to master those moments, I'll win many more of the encounters I have in the course of my week.
Well, what about the individuals that you work with that are maybe a bit on the adversarial side, and their pushback is, okay, I hear you, Steve, but you know, if I cool down, if I, you know, let the cortisol levels in my brain go down, people are going to see that as weakness. I need to, even if it's not the right response, I need to attack. I need to hit back. I need to let them know that I'm not going to take this lying down.
Well, you probably should never go into the subject. What gets our president in trouble the most is Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's quick fire responses. I'm on social media. I've learned not to use it as emotional reaction and response because I end up losing in the end. I know that there may be instant gratification if I respond in kind to an email that has some emotion behind it. But the only thing that person will hear or see in that email is the reaction that I display. They won't even look at the information or the facts of my response. They will just hone in on anything that will fire them up. So I need to self-regulate and play big. So I preserve that relationship. I win in the end. I've got great business clients, colleagues, teammates that I need to. So that I was on a call yesterday with a gentleman. I can't reveal a lot, but he's going to lose one of his top senior leaders, and it's over his behavior.
Mm.
The company's doing great. It's thriving, but he's going to lose a person on his team because of his reactionary responses, and it's just too toxic. And the 76% of people that leave a company are leaving a manager, and the turnover rate and the cost of rehiring and retraining is enormous. So if you play big rather than play small and jump to judgment, it's profitable. So I tell people, you know, if you're concerned with the bottom line, learn how to self-regulate your emotions.
Now, you talk about in some of your work and in some of your talks, this need not to disregard the traditional perspective on IQ, but really balancing your IQ with your EQ. Why do you think that it may be in our traditional learning environments that we don't put a lot of value on the emotional maturity side of things, and then we fumble on it when we get out of school?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in academic circles, they do emphasize the learning. Referencing my son in law enforcement, there's a lot of emphasis on tactical, technical training. But as you know, as a police officer, the things that can get them in trouble are those 17% moments.
Mm-hmm.
So social awareness, social skills are very important. I remember my daughter when she came out of college and she interviewed, and I asked her she came out of an interview and I go, how many questions did they ask you about your education? And she said, not one. And I go, did they ask you anything about any classes you took or any of the, she goes, no. What type of questions did they ask you? How I deal with people, my ability to communicate. Have you worked in collaborative environments? Talk to me about a failure that you've had. How did you rebound from it? All of it is emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
So I tell people your IQ, your training will get you in the game.
Mm-hmm.
How high you want to go in the game is going to be your EQ. Okay. So you've got your IQ, you've got your acquired intelligence, whether you're a lifelong learner, you can control that. Your IQ is pretty well set at age 16.
Mm-hmm.
Your learned or acquired intelligence you can gain, and your emotional intelligence you can increase. Those two have a huge upside. So self-awareness, like Pierre, how self-aware are you of your emotions?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that your mood, your attitude, your attitudes are transferable? Are you aware of your strengths and weaknesses? So when I work with leaders, we talk a lot about self-awareness because that's the foundation of great emotional intelligence.
You have mentioned part of your work is with individuals who live and work and play in the sports world. And I think we see that bear a lot as it results to some natural talent or some acquired skill has gotten them in the door, but they don't get a big contract. They don't get a great role on a team. They don't have a long career. because of this emotional piece. They couldn't get their attitude in check, or they couldn't take constructive criticism, or, you know, it was always a conflict with teammates. So we see that same mm-hmm. thing in a working environment. Share with us an experience of working with an individual who was considered maybe on paper to be a star, top performer, but whenever they got on a team, it was started to fall apart.
Yeah, that's a great point, because we see it, like you said, on athletes. I'm from Seattle, and we see it with Seattle. I mean, your Russell Wilsons, your Bobby Wagners, there's some great skill players, but also have high levels of social skills. Mm-hmm. Some of the others that maybe cause a little discord, or there's a rub, you kind of see them begin to filter those players out, right? You see it in the corporate. I remember working with an executive from Microsoft that was considered high potential. It was a woman. And they said, "Steve, she's so smart and so gifted, but she doesn't recognize her body language. She doesn't recognize that when she's in meetings, she acts disinterested in her peers." So she's sending the wrong message. Can you come in and work with her just on those two things? Wow. And literally for 6 weeks, all we did was talk about her body language and being more present in meetings and affirming colleagues. And her leadership influence and impact immediately started to go on the increase. So I ask leaders all the time, what's your body language? Are you an active listener? How much, you know, do you have that collaborative spirit? Are you able to work with diverse personalities and backgrounds? These are great skill sets that will accelerate your career. And nobody arrives, right? Nobody's perfect, but that's right. Something that we all can continue to master and develop.
Now, as it relates to growing as communicators and growing as leaders, you say part of this hinges in some of your work. Part of this is learning the art of asking better questions, of not always approaching something like you have all the answers, but having that questioning disposition or that willingness to learn. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. Let's talk about sales. Selling is not telling. Have you ever been to a car lot, or you're looking and they immediately just jumped in and started telling you about features and functions and product and services? And I mean, this happened years ago. We were at a Honda lot leaning against a Honda. I think it was a Passport, like the SUV version. Mm-hmm. And a guy came up and literally tried to sell me the car. And I go, "Hey, I got a Ford Expedition. We're here looking for an Accord." But he already had the doors open, the seats down. He was showing me the sound system. I'm like, "Hold on, time out. I don't need this." And I think we should always begin with questions. And for me, when I come in and I work with a team or an organization, I like to ask them, "What is your vision for this event? Tell me about your culture. I would love to know about the profile of those who will be attending." Mm-hmm. "What are your desired outcomes?" And the more actionable intel you receive, you can then begin to customize either your response or programming or keynote to them. So in life, I always tell people in life, start from their side of the bridge, not yours. Take the time and energy to climb over there, get on their side of the bridge and ask questions, and it will also show great respect. It will affirm them, and they will tell you things. They will reveal to you information that you would have never known. So I'm learning this, Pierre. Man, I was a great teller for years, and I'm you could always, if you need to talk with my wife, she goes, "Yep, Steve needs to work on his listening."
I'm sure my wife would say something similar. Now, as it relates to working with different organizations, that demands that you personally have a sense of adaptability, but also you're coaching leaders to be adaptable as well to their situations, to their employees, to their clients. Why is this adaptability an often an overlooked skill?
Well, again, back to the listening and back to, I think, discovering other people's full potential. I have one client, and he has an overall mantra, which is to make his clients and customers the hero, to make them the hero. And he's got to do that by adapting. He's got to do that by listening. He's got to do that by being a little bit more flexible and not so rigid. But I think you got to begin with the end in mind. Like you and I do similar things, and I would ask you probably, how successful do you want to be? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Mm-hmm. And you'd begin to tell me that, and I would say, probably the best roadmap is to make other people a hero. Every client, make them a hero. Do more than they would ever expect you to do. You know, put the and then some. Do what would be reasonably expected of you, peer, and then some. And so, yeah, I mean, working with organizations is a great privilege, and I think being able to just tap into what their core needs are is the key.
Now, for a person that travels as much as you do, how do you keep from losing your sense of awe? I mean, you have a fantastic career, you have tons of influence, you're high energy, you have this sense of authenticity about you. As you travel from place to place and work from leader to leader, how do you keep your passion for leadership development?
I love that question. That's a great question. I'd love to ask my clients that. And I would say, you've got to get filled up in order to be fired up. So you've got to fill up, and I always talk about three buckets. I've got to fill up physically, I've got to fill up emotionally, and I have to fill up spiritually. And I think about that every week. Every week I've got to do something that will physically enhance my energy. The number one attribute I have is probably the energy, not just the physical, but being engaged, being passionate, being enthused. Well, I've got to take care of myself. If I'm traveling, I can't be ordering pizza in my room and having a beer at night. I've got to be able to say, well, you know, I'd like to have the pizza, but I think I'm going to have the salmon and the sparkling water or whatever. I get up in the morning, and I don't tell a lot of people this, but it doesn't matter if I change time zones, go from Seattle to the East Coast in Orlando. I get up every morning at 5:15. So if I get up at 5:15 in Orlando, what's that? 2:15 Seattle time. And I have done that for years just because I'm not going to play around with my morning ritual. I'm going to get up the same time every morning. I'm going to drink my coffee. I'm going to write out a spiritual prayer. I am going to treat each day like a one-day contract. I'm going to do 15 minutes of exercise, whether I feel it or not. I take these stretch bands in my carry bag, like surgical stretch bands, that I can do arm curls and push-ups. I do 60 push-ups a day, whether I feel like it or not. I listen to podcasts. I usually have a book. I read a book a month. I started that in 1996. And so there are several things to get fired up. I got to get really filled up. And that is key. So that keeps me going. I write on a card. I mean, I literally write on a card. I'm on a one-day contract.
One-day contract.
I'm on a one-day contract. I don't even, like today, I came down and did some editing for a new video series I'm doing. I had a call with a client in the UK. I will be doing another coaching call after our podcast. Today is the only day that matters. I have to give 100% because I'm on a one-day contract.
I love that idea. I love that concept. And if more of us, if you're listening to this, maybe that's something that you need to adopt when you get up every single morning and sign that one-day contract with yourself and make the best of every single day. Win the day. Steve, how can we keep up with you? I mean,
you're a big social media influencer, so we know you're on social media. Give us your social media handles, your website, your space.
It's easy. So like everything is Steve Gutzler. So at Steve Gutzler for Twitter, at Steve Gutzler, GUTZLER, Instagram. I'd love to connect with professionals on LinkedIn. I've got a YouTube channel. If you go to my website, stevegutzler.com, there's one of those annoying pop-up windows that comes up after about, 10, 15 seconds to sign up for my weekly. I have a weekly podcast or e-news that I'm not trying to sell things. I just put out a leadership blog post. I started it 7-8 years ago. I committed to write one every week. There's some weeks when I'm on vacation or I'm not feeling well, but I would say probably 40 out of the 54 weeks, I have a fresh new blog e-news that comes out every Tuesday for leaders. And there's often free giveaways, my free ebook or different things. So that would be a great way to connect. But I love connecting. I mean, have people connect social media. They can email me. I answer all my emails to the best of my ability. So just like I answered yours, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad that we've been able to get connected. Steve, you've been doing this for 26 years and my tribe wishes you all the best success for 26 more years. And thanks for joining me in our conversation today.
All right. Beyond a 1-day contract, brother.
Great conversation with Steve Gutzler today. And that part about the 1-day contract. Wow. I mean, that really resonated with me. And I hope it resonated with you too. And I want you to check out Steve. I need you to follow him on social. Add yourself to his 100,000 Twitter followers and keep up with someone who's doing great work in the area of leadership and personal development. We put all of Steve's stuff in the show notes, so you won't have to look too far to find it. While you're checking out the show notes, maybe you can hop over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and some comments. We'll read your comments to everyone like we did for Mr. Self-Improvement today. And we'll let people know that you're joining us on this mission to take effective leadership around the world. So we want you to keep going. We want you to keep pushing. And we want you to be the leader that you were called to be. Now, to help you do that, I got 2 courses on my website, prcquinn.com. Hop over. Check out the 12 tips to grow as a leader and my Leading While Green Leadership Intensive. And I got some great bonuses for you in both of those courses. So be sure to do that as you're on this leadership journey. And that's all I got for this episode. So until next time, take care and God bless.